Bonnie Bedlam turned suddenly and fired her disruptor. The energy beam blowing apart a glazed silver node halfway up a building to their left. Gleaming fragments fell like metal snowflakes, drifting unhurriedly on the air. Owen and the others looked quickly about them, weapons at the ready, but nothing was moving anywhere. Owen glared at Bonnie.
What the hell was that for?
I didn't like the way that building was looking at me.
Owen struggled to hold on to his temper.
Well, if the Hagemen didn't know we were here before, they sure as hell do now.
You're welcome.
Owen, I think we can definitely assume they know exactly where we are.
Owen looked around to discover that a small army of Hagemen had appeared out of nowhere, in utter silence, and now surrounded them on all sides. All the roads leading off the street were completely blocked. Owen decided he was going to stand very still and hope the others had the sense to do the same. There had to be at least 100 of the augmented men, tall and perfect and standing quite still, poised with a strange inhuman grace. None of them were carrying weapons. They didn't need any. They were weapons. Their faces were completely expressionless, though their eyes shone with a golden glare, as though small nuclear fires burned in each eyeball. Owen looked at Hazel, and they both pointed their guns at the ground, just so there wouldn't be any misunderstandings. Bonnie was looking a bit restless, so Midnight gripped her right arm firmly with one hand, just in case. For a long moment, the humans and the Hagemen just stood and looked at each other. The Hagemen augmented by human tech, the others enlarged by the alien tech of the Madness Maze. None of them strictly human anymore. Owen thought furiously. This was exactly the kind of confrontation he'd hoped to avoid by sneaking into the city through the sewers. If push came to shove, the odds were a lot more even than they looked. The Hagemen were skilled fighters, but even they would have trouble standing against the powers of the maze. There were only 100 of them, but Owen still had hopes of negotiating some kind of deal. Even after all he'd seen of the Hagemen's past atrocities, he still believed in talking rather than fighting whenever possible. He had to. It was either that, or give in to the way of the warrior, to blood and fury and the beast. The easy way. And Owen had seen enough death and destruction in his life. He looked cautiously around for someone who looked like a leader or spokesperson, and then tensed as one of the augmented men suddenly stepped forward to stand before him.
Hello, Owen. Remember me?
My God. Moon? Is that you?
Yes. Tobias Moon, your old companion. They rebuilt me after I was destroyed by the Grendel on Lost Hayden. Hello, Hazel.
It's been a while, Moon.
She holstered her gun and held out a hand for him to shake. After a moment, Moon took her hand in his and shook it carefully, mindful of his greater strength. The Hayden's hand was cold as a corpse, and Hazel let go as soon as she diplomatically could. Owen studied Moon carefully, and he stared impassively back with his glowing eyes. Owen shook his head slowly.
They did a hell of a job on you, Moon. I can't see a join anywhere. I mean, that Grendel ripped your head right off.
I remember. I was there.
He looked at Hazel.
I remember you coming to see me in the city we built on Lost Hayden. You never came to see me, Owen.
I thought you were dead. And when I did finally find out, there were so many things I had to do.
I understand. I am, after all, not the Tobias Moon you knew. This is his body, repaired and raised to full Hagemen functioning, and I have access to all his memories, but I am not him. His personality died with him. It is just as well. He had spent too long away from his own kind. He had become too human.
So I was right. My old companion really is dead, after all. I've lost another friend. You'd think I'd be used to that by now, but it doesn't matter. So what happens now, Moon?
That's rather up to you, Owen.
There are things I need to discuss with the Hagemen.
As you wish. You should have let us know you were coming. We would have prepared a reception for you.
Yeah, I'll bet you would have.
Please, put your weapons away. You're in no danger. The Redeemer and his companions are always welcome among the Hagemen.
Owen looked at the others, shrugged, and put his gun and sword away. Hazel finally sheathed her sword, and Bonnie and Midnight followed her example. Bonnie studied the Hagemen with open curiosity, and they looked back with equal interest. Presumably, they'd never seen anything quite like each other before. Midnight folded her muscular arms across her bosom and looked bored, now that there was no longer any hope of a little action. Owen looked around him, taking in the blank, watching faces of the augmented men. They had a disturbing similarity, as though the same thoughts moved behind different faces. The Haydenmen were perfect in shape and form, but it was not a human perfection. All their faces were subtly alien, as though shaped by strange concepts. Their bodies were largely machine, their minds boosted by computer implants, their only aim and purpose, the perfecting of all humanity through technology. And if they had lost human attributes along the way, like emotions and conscience and individuality, that was a price the Haydenmen had always been willing to pay. Oz murmured in Owen's ear,
"We should have known Moon would show up again. You can't trust a Haydenman in anything, even to stay dead. Now he's just another of the pale Harlequins, with the mark of Cain upon his brow. Watch your back, Owen."
Owen frowned. The AI's words seemed to stir a memory in him of something he'd heard in a prophecy from a precog on Mistworld.
"Brave notes and screaming shocks. The pale Harlequins are swarming again. Dear lost shoes and delicate monks are dancing round the summer stone."
For a moment, he seemed to be on the brink of understanding something important, but Moon was indicating politely that they should start moving, and Owen let the thought go as he concentrated on the present. His spying party had been discovered, he was outnumbered, and he was being escorted into the arms of his enemy, but the mission wasn't necessarily a bust yet. He still had hopes that he could talk the Haydenmen into giving up their captives and working with humanity rather than against them. Together, the two powers might be capable of far more than they could ever hope to achieve separately. And surely the Haydenmen must have learned something from the total defeat of their last crusade against the Empire. Surely a people so proud of their logic wouldn't make the same mistake twice. Moon led the four humans down the street, and the rest of the Haydenmen fell in behind them, all of them walking in perfect step. Owen hoped Hazel and her alternates would continue to take their lead from him and not start anything. With luck, he could get some useful information out of Moon before they got to wherever they were going, which was probably a good place to start.
"So, where are we going, Moon?"
"To the heart of the city."
Moon didn't turn to look at Owen.
"There is so much we wish to show you, Redeemer. Much that you have made possible."
"We were allies in the rebellion. Why have you turned against humanity now?"
"We follow our programming. The imperatives of the genetic church, the perfecting of mankind. We bring the gift of transformation for everyone."
"What if everyone doesn't want it?"
"Such a response is clearly illogical, and is therefore ignored. We do as we must, what is necessary."
Owen thought about that. It seemed Moon was right when he claimed to have none of his old personality. These responses could have come from any augmented man. Tobias Moon had been different. He'd spent much of his life among humans, absorbing human characteristics despite himself. He'd always said he wanted nothing more than to be among his own people, a Haydenman among Haydenmen, but even then he hadn't been sure whether they'd accept him as he was, for what he'd become. In the end, he died before Owen could open their tomb. He never saw the second coming of the Haydenmen. Now here he was, living as he'd always wanted, and unable to appreciate it because Haydenmen didn't have feelings like that. Owen felt obscurely angry.
"You have Moon's memories. You remember me and Hazel. We were friends. How do you feel about us now?"
"Haydenmen do have feelings. They are just unlike human emotions. They arise from our minds, not from chemical imbalances in the body. Understand that we give up much to become Haydenmen. Our sex is cut away from us, along with other unnecessary appetites and needs, and thus our thoughts and drives derive from different sources than yours. We give up human weaknesses to become something more, to become part of a greater whole. My senses are far greater than yours, and reveal to me realms you could barely comprehend. We do not feel pain or despair, heat or cold. We are never alone. My thoughts are logic. My dreams are mathematics. There is far more to me than the barely functioning creature you knew before."
"Don't bother trying to reach him. I tried often enough back on Hayden. There's nothing left of the Moon we knew."
"I remember. You came to me for blood. Do you require some more?"
"No.
I don't need it anymore.
Very wise. It is highly detrimental to the human system.
Being human made you capable of things that are probably beyond you now. Do you remember how you died, Moon? You were trying to activate the controls that would open the tomb of the Hademan when the Grendel alien caught up with you. You fought, and it tore you apart, ripping your head from your shoulders with its bare hands. It had started eating your body when I found it and killed it. I tried to open the tomb, but I didn't have the access codes. Only you did. And you came back from the shores of death to give me those codes, speaking them with your dead lips. I couldn't have opened the tomb without your help. Do you remember any of that?
Moon looked at him for a long moment, and then turned away.
No, I remember none of that. It sounds very unlikely. Probably in the stress of the moment, you imagined it. Humans do that. They don't have our perfect logic.
Owen decided he'd drop the matter for now and let the Hademan think about it. He was sure he'd touched something in Moon, even if the augmented man denied it.
So how did you know where to find us?
You were detected the moment you entered the city. We have made this place over in our own image, and now every Hademan is a part of the city, and nothing moves in it that is not us. Our sensors found your unique readings and identified you to us as the Redeemer. So we came to escort you into the heart of our mystery. We will hide nothing from you. You and your family have always been good allies of the Hademan.
You said that once before, but I never found the time to follow it up. Or perhaps I was afraid to. Exactly what dealings have your kind had with Clan Deathstalker?
Our association goes back centuries. Originally through the computers of Giles Deathstalker, who contacted the scientists who passed through the Madness Maze, and afterwards made themselves over into the first Hademan, and then later through various family members, up until our abortive First Crusade. They supported us, provided what we needed, helped us remain hidden from the rest of the Empire. When the Crusade failed and we fled to our tomb to wait for better days, your family kept a watch over us, until it was your destiny to come and awaken us. That's how your dead father's ring came to hold the coordinates for Lost Hademan. Everything was carefully arranged. You were just the last cog in a great machine.
Owen held his anger within him.
And what was the nature of this relationship? There must have been a deal. Who gave it to whom?
We would help the rebels overthrow the Iron Throne and place them in power. In return, the Hademan were promised planets of their own, and a percentage of the Empire's population. A levy, a tithe. Millions of men and women given to us, to be used as we found necessary.
No. No! My father would never have agreed to such a thing.
Are you sure? Giles sure as hell wouldn't have had any problems with such a deal. And you always said your father would make a deal with the devil, if that was what it took to get what he wanted.
The end justifies the means. Anything for the greater good. The nobility of sacrifice. As long as it wasn't his. That kind of shit was the reason why I broke with him and refused to be a part of his intrigues. But I never guessed to be a part of something like this.
It was a good deal, from which both sides stood to profit. And entirely logical. We did our part, and the Empire is yours. Now we are taking what was promised us, beginning with Brahmin II.
Owen's hand dropped to the gun at his side. Hazel clamped her hand down hard on his arm. She shared his feelings, but this wasn't the time. Not yet.
What's so special about this world? This is the second time you've come here.
There are ore deposits here that are unavailable throughout the rest of the Empire. No use to humans, but vital to Hademan technology. You know nothing of their value. In your minds, you dug right through them to get to the lesser metals you so prize. And so we came here to defend the sources of our superiority. The native population is a useful bonus. Brahmin II is just the beginning. We will go from planet to planet, one at a time, taking control of the populations and their resources. The humans we will make over into Hademan, our numbers growing with every world we claim. The Empire will be slow to see our threat. They will not go to war with us over a single planet, not in their present weakened condition. They will cede to us each planet, rather than put the whole Empire at risk. By the time they realize how much we have taken, and how many of us there are, it will be too late. The second crusade of the Genetic Church will sweep across all humanity, bringing the gift of transformation. And sooner than you would think, it will be a Haydenman empire.
Thinks a lot of himself, doesn't he? Say the word, Owen, and I'll tear this tin can apart and rip out his wiring.
Right. One word, and I'll reduce this bunch to their component parts.
A nice thought, but hold it for the moment. There's still things I need to know, whether I want to know them or not.
Moon took them on a tour of what used to be Brahmin City, now transformed and altered by Haydenman technology. There were doors that opened in solid walls as they approached, controls that worked if you only thought about using them, lights and colors that were uncomfortable for limited human eyes. Inside the buildings, Moon showed them Haydenman plugged directly into working systems, a functioning part of the city's technical processes. It wasn't clear whether these were temporary or permanent adaptations. They were quite aware and able to answer questions, but their answers made no sense to the human party. Some had been partly disassembled to fit into the machinery. Everywhere they went, unfamiliar machinery was in constant operation. Gradually, Owen became convinced that the whole city had been converted into one great machine, though its purpose remained unclear.
So, where are all the people? I mean, the real people, Brahmin's population, and the prisoners you took during the rebellion. What have you done with them?
Yes, it's time you told us, Moon. You couldn't have turned them all into Haydenmen in so short a time.
They have been put to use. Nothing is ever wasted. We will show you everything.
He led them into a tall steel tower with no windows, and the door closed and locked itself behind the last Haydenman to accompany them. Most stayed outside, but 20 augmented men remained with them, ostensibly as a guard of honor for the Redeemer, but more probably to remind them that they were as much prisoners as guests. Owen didn't let it get to him. The Haydenmen might think that 20 were enough to enforce their will, but they'd never seen Maze powers working at their full extent. They were in for one hell of a surprise. Moon opened a door that looked like any other and ushered the human party into a Haydenmen laboratory. And there at last, they discovered what the Haydenmen had been doing with their human prisoners. Owen had to fight for control. He wanted to run wild, shrieking with rage and horror, and cut down everything that wasn't human. But he didn't. They were waiting for him to break down. When finally he did fight back, he wanted to be sure it was his idea. He could feel Hazel shaking at his side. He didn't dare look around to see how Bonnie and Midnight were taking it. Before them, in a gleaming, spotless room that seemed to go on forever, the people of Brahmin II had been reduced to mere experiments. Some had been plugged into working machines to see if they could function as Haydenmen did. Wires pierced their skin in bunches, and thin transparent tubing plunged into surgically exposed guts, gleaming red and purple in the unblinking light. Cables disappeared into gaping mouths and emptied eye sockets, and emerged again from gray brain tissue exposed by the removal of parts of the skull. There was no blood. It had all been pumped away. There were too many subjects to count. Men and women who should have been dead, kept artificially alive in hell. All the subjects seemed to be aware of their situation, of what had been done to them. But none of them struggled or protested.
Why aren't they screaming? Damn, I'd scream.
We removed their vocal cords. The noise was distracting. And it wasn't as if they had anything useful to say to us.
Why aren't they moving?
Movement was unnecessary and might have interfered with the tests. So we placed blocks in the spinal cord.
Why? Why this horror?
People have changed since we last walked among them. There are clones and espers and adjusted men, and even miracle workers like yourself. It is vital that we understand the current status of humanity before we begin improving on it. This whole tower is one great laboratory, floor upon floor, room upon room, dedicated to discovering the hidden truths of what humanity has become in our absence. And so, bodies are probed, investigated, vivisected, understood down to the minutest levels. Subjects are tested to their physical and psychological limits, that we might better understand the age-old question, what is this thing called man? Would you care to see our findings so far? Our test results have been most illuminating.
Owen grabbed Moon by the arm and forced him around so they were face to face.
Are you proud of this, Moon? Of what you and your kind have done to living sentient creatures?
The question seemed to take Moon aback.
It is necessary. Suffering is transient. Knowledge is forever. And none of the subjects is wasted. Those who survive the procedures will be made into Hayden men, and they will never know suffering again. Those who die will supply body parts for the greater good. And everything that is learned here becomes part of the great pool of Hademan knowledge, whereby miracles are worked in flesh and tech as we improve on blind, directionless nature. Man becomes more than man by his own efforts. That is the creed of the Hademan.
But how do you feel about all this? About the horror your subjects feel and the horror of what you do to them?
There was a time when that question might have meant something to me. But I have been improved since then.
Like hell you have.
Let me get this straight. All this Hademan crap is new to me. You're going to improve humanity by cutting away all the things that make us human?
I thought you at least might understand. You obviously were not content to be as nature made you. You cut holes in your flesh to make room for metal. You endured transient pain for future gain.
Only because I enjoyed it, Metalhead. It was my choice. And you took these people's choice away from them. That's inhuman. And it stops right here.
Her hand moved blindingly fast to the gun on her hip. The Hademan around her moved faster. They fell upon her in an instant, steel-knuckled fists hammering down in unison, driving her to the floor. Midnight Crew started forward, only to stop as the Hademan around her raised their arms menacingly. Hazel looked to Owen, but he just stood there and did nothing, though he wouldn't let himself look away. Hademan fists broke Bonnie's dead white skin and tore piercings from her flesh. Eventually, she stopped struggling and lay still, and the Hademan drew back and let her lie.